From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into a special edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. I'm Matt Holmes alongside executive producer Jason Becknell. We're excited about this show, and it kind of was born probably about a month ago, I guess. Chris Chancey was a guest on our show from Amplio Recruiting, and one of the things that they do is help refugees to the country find jobs, which is a noble thing, a difficult thing, I would imagine. That's kind of what we got from that. But he mentioned he had a lot of great corporate partners that he works with. And so we invited him back to bring some of those corporate partners and talk about some of these jobs that are placing refugees. It's big in the news right now, obviously. And so I wanted to kind of dig a little bit deeper. Chris, welcome back to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
So tell us a little bit about some of the folks that you brought with you today.
Yeah, I'd love to share and just be able to kind of highlight the work. I'm glad they're here to talk a little bit about more in depth about what they do. But, as we talked about last time, we're working in a community called Clarkston, Georgia, here in DeKalb County. And there's a lot of activity going on in Clarkston that are people who are trying to really serve alongside the refugee population there. And so some of the folks here today are doing a great job of that. So I'm excited we get to highlight them. So Andrew's here from Dwell Cleaning, and he'll get to share a little bit more in detail about that. Luke from Lantern Project and Kitty from Refuge Coffee. And so I'll let them share a little bit more about exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew Kraft, sitting to my right here, the founder of Dwell, which is a residential and business cleaning, commercial cleaning company. Why start this company? Why start it with refugees?
We live very close to Clarkston, and my wife and I have been in the middle of cultures our whole lives and enjoy that interaction. We have three small boys. We like to see them involved in diverse communities. And we had an opportunity to reach out to the community of Clarkston and look for an opportunity to start a business, to try to employ people. There is a need for jobs in the community. There's a need for good paying jobs in a good work environment, in an environment where their work is valued. And there are people who enjoy cleaning. And so we wanted to provide a platform where people who enjoy that work could come to work in a good work environment, get good pay, contribute something that's valued, and be part of that.
How long has the company been around?
We started about 4 years ago, right around this time.
And so how many countries, how diverse a staff do you have?
So we have 14 people who work with us. 10 of those are refugees, and they are from 7 different countries. So we have a very diverse workforce.
Well, and that was one of my biggest questions. We had Chris on the show before. What kinds of languages are you working with? In our high schools, we teach Spanish and French and German, those sorts of things. A lot of these languages, though, are not household you're learning in your high schools, right?
Sure. Those from West Africa would speak sometimes in French. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's not a lot of common languages. So we have Swahili, Bhutanese, Congolese, Lugandan. We have Western African, so some of those would speak French.
Which you're not fluent in all of these languages, I would imagine. That would be impressive.
Yeah, I am not.
Okay, so how do you get over that? How do you get over that hurdle?
Well, we do have to have some level of English, and a lot of these individuals can speak English in addition to multiple other languages, which is impressive for people to be able to come here to live, be part of the community, and to be able to communicate. And even in their broken English, they can communicate effectively enough to be able to work with us.
And so you mentioned you employ 14 people. Is this full-time work? Is it contract work? How does that function?
All of our individuals work as much as they would like to work.
That's
so
great.
It's part-time all the way to full-time, whatever can work for their schedule.
That's fantastic. Andrew Kraft, the founder of Dwell, we'll talk more with you coming up over the course of the show. Our second guest is Kitty Murray. She is the founder of Refuge Coffee. Tell us a little bit about it, Kitty.
Like Andrew and his wife, my husband and I, well, we actually live in Clarkston. So that's our neighborhood, mm-hmm. our home. And two needs that we saw right away when we moved there several years ago. One was the jobless situation. And then another was that there was no third environment, no gathering place. You could drive 4 miles down the road to Decatur and find mm-hmm. any kind of coffee shop you wanted to find. But there was no place. There were coffee shops, but there was no multi-ethnic gathering place. So Refuge was founded to meet both of those needs. So like dwell. We also employ refugees, but we're a nonprofit, so we do a year-long job training program. So while they're with us for a year, they get the hard skills of barista training and that kind of thing, but they also get soft skills and then mentoring and eventually coaching to help them make the transition from us. But we pay a living wage while they're with us. And we've created, right now we have a coffee truck, mm-hmm. and it's super cool and fun, big red coffee truck. And we're in Clarkston 2 days a week. We discount our prices when we're there, and we've just created a coffee shop-like environment there. And then when we're not in Clarkston, we take the truck on the road. So we go to film sets, or we cater corporate events, and we do that sort of thing.
Did you have a background in business when you guys started up Refuge Coffee?
Less than zero.
Okay.
Yeah, and my husband also. So one of the reasons we chose to do this as a nonprofit was that it was a world we knew better than the for-profit world. Although our goal is for at least 95% of our operating capital to be earned income, but we're just not there yet. We're getting there faster than we thought we would. So
one of the same questions I asked to Andrea, how many employees do you have? Where are they coming from?
Okay. Well, we have three right now, and two are full-time, and one we hope to ramp up to full-time as soon as possible. We have Eleni from Ethiopia, Leon is from Congo, and then Ahmed is from Syria. He's our newest employee.
When these people come in, do they have standard job training? For example, in their own countries, you hear quite often, I had a good-paying professional job in my home country. I was a refugee and had to go except, you know, menial labor. Do they have that kind of job training to where they can use this as a stepping stone with the skills you're helping them with?
Absolutely. The people that we have right now all do. They all have professional careers, college degrees from their own countries. So part of what we're doing is enabling them to figure out what their goals are and then to reach those goals when they leave us. So they may not have anything to do with food service or coffee or any of that again. But one of the beautiful things is they have a job now that they could get almost anywhere in the city as a barista, and that's a great job to have while you're in college. So right. If they leave us and go to school, they'll have a means of helping during that time too.
That's fantastic. Kitty Murray from Refuge Coffee, we'll look forward to talking more with you later in the show, especially about your mission and what you're doing there in Clarkston. We appreciate you being here. Luke Keller is our last guest. He's the director of the Lantern Project. And Luke, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you so much. The Lantern Project's a lot like Refuge. It's a nonprofit organization. We were started a little over 2 years ago as a construction trade training program, as well as job placement. So we work a lot with Chris Chansey and Amplio. And our main purpose is in about a year and a half, we help refugees, primarily refugees, but anyone who's underemployed or unemployed, go through our construction trade training, which is about two different parts. So they get like their core curriculum, and then they get their actual like fields. So we do welding, pipe fitting, masonry, carpentry, and electrical. And so in about a year and a half, we at the end, we help them get employment. And so you know, part of that, like Kitty and Refuge, we do a leadership development course along with the first part of the program. So you know, they're getting their hard skills, which is, you know, one of our many different fields. And then they're getting the soft skills, and then a mentor as well. And then, you know, at the end of that, we work alongside just getting them employed.
We've had some great stories shared already about why you guys are working with the refugee population. How about for you, Luke?
Yeah, so I started off working for an engineering construction company. Actually, I'm still employed by them right now. They're one of our major donors of the Lantern Project. And we just, you know, as a company, we wanted to do more. You know, you're seeing a lot of that from a lot of for-profit companies, you know, just wanting to get involved with whatever's going on in the world, all the different crises. So Lauren, Engineers Constructors, we kind of came together and said, you know, we wanted to kind of do two different things. Number one, stop the trend that is for every seven skilled journeymen, you know, skilled laborers that are exiting the workplace, only one is filling those seven people's shoes. So there's a, you know, downward spiral to where how we can have skilled labor.
Sure.
And then the second one was obviously just the refugee crisis. And we just wanted to kind of, you know, figure out a way we could combine the two and help refugees, you know, reestablish a career, reestablish a skill, and help get them these very, very lucrative jobs in the workplace.
If they have a construction background, and you're talking about impoverished countries in many cases, the building materials, the tools right. You're using are vastly different from the United States of America. Is that a challenge for them?
Sometimes, I mean, much like these other organizations, you know, we have a very pretty intense process to, at the very beginning, to make sure we're getting the top students, you know, ones that are somewhat educated, that have somewhat of an English background. And then, you know, part of the first program that lasts is where they're doing their core curriculum, and that's where they're getting basic tool identification, basic safety. So they're going to kind of relearn construction as an American standard, mm-hmm. Versus, you know, their home country.
How many people are you employing, and where are they coming from?
So they're technically not employees. They're more
training,
like
students. I guess I should say.
Trainees. Yeah. But we have about, in the 2 years we've been going, we've had about 75 enter our program. We've graduated about 25, and a total over 25 countries from all 75. So
how do you, I feel it's almost like when you buy something from IKEA that you have to assemble. They don't even put words on it. It's just pictures of how you do things. If you're trying to communicate with people from 25 different countries and you're trying to teach them a trade, is it a lot of just demonstration, or do you actually have to pick up certain parts of the languages?
Well, no. I mean, part of the process in the very beginning is we do make sure that their English is at least like a seventh, eighth grade reading level.
Okay.
And even then, you know, we've had guys that we probably, you know, should not have let in the program, but they just, you could tell how eager they were, and they, you know, they'd only been in the country for a few months, and they're the ones that picked it up, and it's actually kind of turned into like a an English learning for them as well, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's awesome. Luke Keller from the Lantern Project. We'll circle back and talk a little bit more with you later on in the show. This is a special edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. I want to get back with Chris Chancy from Amplio Recruiting. And Chris, we've heard firsthand from these companies, but talk about some of the benefits that you've seen of companies hiring refugees.
Well, there's so many benefits. You know, there's certainly a lot you can kind of hear through these guys presenting here. There's a lot of benefits to the refugee. And even what Luke just said is a huge part of that, helping them become more confident in their language skills and become more confident in their ability to interact with customers and just kind of learn the cultural kind of ways that things work in the U.S. But there's a lot of benefits to the business owners who are hiring people like those that are being served by the organizations represented here. And so, you know, some of the big trends that we see is there's a lot of labor shortage in DeKalb and you know, all over Atlanta. And they're in areas like construction. So that's where, you know, the Lantern Project can come in and serve. They're in areas like hospitality and customer service. So, you know, so we can see the potential opportunities for people who come through the refuge coffee truck and the training there. And there's a lot of maintenance and janitorial needs. And so Dwell is able to hit that need. And so there are a lot of companies who say, we can't hire illegal immigrants anymore. And there are not enough college graduates who want to work for the wages that we're willing to pay. And so we're looking for a workforce. We're looking for good people who will be loyal, who will not increase our turnover, but allow us to, you know, pay them well and see them be fulfilled in their work. And so that's the need we're meeting.
How many people have you helped find jobs in your time with Amplio Recruiting?
You know, we've been around a year, and so we are still learning so much. And so over the last probably 3 or 4 months, we've had about 200 interviews with different people. And we've learned a lot through that. Out of those, we've probably placed maybe 20 people. And so we're seeing about a 10% success rate right now, which you know, probably wouldn't go over well as a batting average, but we're learning a lot through the process, and you know, we hope to continue to see some improvement in that.
Now, you talk about employment corruption. What is that? How does it manifest itself in DeKalb County?
Yeah, that's a really interesting kind of a process we're starting to see develop more and more as we get more into this world. And so to try to explain it very simply, there's a lot of staffing agencies that are working in DeKalb County and are trying to meet this labor shortage that's happening. And so they're working with companies. But certainly the companies have their best interests at heart. So they've got to meet certain, you know, labor costs and you know, the issues they're facing to keep their doors open. So they're working with staffing agencies. They're paying the staffing agency a fee to hire a refugee in many cases. And that staffing agency is going to cover workers' comp and you know, other things that company now doesn't have to worry about. But there's a period of time, usually around 3 months, that the refugee will be on the payroll of a staffing agency. And at the end of that time, they'll be let go and they'll find a new refugee to fill that spot that was needed for the company. So the company kind of gets what they need. They need basically what they're looking for is a warm body, and they're not really concerned with who it is or, you know, how it affects their life. The staffing agency just wants to get paid. And so they're kind of taken care of, and they have a system where they just kind of help each other out ongoing every 3 months. We're just going to keep the train moving. The refugee is the one at the very end of the train that may be making some purchases, expecting that this career will continue. They'll buy a car, they'll try to pay off some of the debt they have, and it gets them into a hole where they're fired and let go after the end of a few months. So we're trying to curb that and try to go about things differently, which is hard. But we're starting to see some success in that, just exposing some of the things that are happening.
Around Atlanta and DeKalb County, what are the industries that you're seeing of need?
Yeah, we've mentioned a few of them. Huge labor shortage in the construction industry. And when we think about it in this country, in the Atlanta metro area, and certainly in DeKalb right now, there are so many projects that are pending projects and projects that are just getting off the ground. And we know how huge an impact construction has on the economy overall. And we feel the effects of that locally as certainly around the country. So there's so many construction crews and agencies that are saying, there's more work for us to do if we just had the people to do it. And we see the same in agriculture. There are fruit right now in Georgia that's dying on the vine because there's not enough people to pick the produce. And so there are farms losing money every day because they just can't get their produce to market. So agriculture, construction, certainly healthcare is a big one as well. So there's many uses for the workforce that we have.
How'd you guys all find each other? How'd this network come about, this kind of common goal of helping the refugee population?
Well, first, Clarkston is small. You've heard it's the most diverse square mile in the world, and it is just a little over a square mile. And so it's small and it's dense, and the people who are working to help refugees or to work alongside refugees are, I don't think any of us would say we have this complete thing we're doing by ourselves. And so we just find each other. There's the faith community, and that's another way we found each other. I think it's just that our goals overlap. And, I don't think anybody is about their thing. We all kind of have the same purpose. So I don't even remember how I met you, Chris. but just an email connection,
Yeah, it kind of builds that cause.
Yeah.
Andrew, everybody here, small business owner, nonprofit director, what kinds of lessons have you learned as you've worked with these refugees and run a small business to help them?
Well, there's a tremendous amount. I came from corporate America, so moving into the small business realm as an entrepreneur was a lot of learning on my part. And it's really been exciting and daunting at the same time. And I think probably everybody would agree with that who's ever tried to start something. And we've experienced tremendous growth over the last 4 years. It's exciting to see people coming to us as customers, referring their friends and neighbors, and being able to hire more people and accomplish our mission, which is to employ as many refugees as we can. And so we're accomplishing that. What's daunting is running in what is really a commodity service of cleaning, where we're competing with people who are not running legitimate businesses, not paying the same as far as insurance, taxes, workers' comp. And we're competing with those just as we are with the big, the big cleaning companies who have volume. Mm-hmm. So we're paying all the same expenses as a legitimate large company. We don't have the volume yet. We're certainly growing in that direction. But we're competing on price with a lot of people who have much cheaper rates because they are not playing on a level playing field. And so as we navigate that and grow, there are a lot of challenges and hurdles to being honest and ethical and running a legitimate business that we're learning, and we are surviving and we're growing. And so that's exciting.
How do you get that point across to whether it's the homeowner that needs their house clean on a regular basis, or whether it's a company that could contract your folks to come and clean their business? How do you get that point across? Because if they're looking for low price bids, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and we're not going to win everybody based on our good cleaning and based on our price. But there are certainly a lot of business out there that we continue to attract because of the good reviews that we get, the job well done, coupled with the price, which I think a lot of people do recognize the value of having a company who is covered in insurance, taxes, workers' comp, so that they are not liable if something happens on their property.
Luke, I'll go to you. You're working this, I guess, kind of as a side venture. You said you're still with your construction company. What have you learned from doing this with the Lantern Project, from working with these refugees?
Oh, man. probably my biggest takeaway has been, you know, understanding that these refugees that are coming here, and many of them have past educations. You know, we've had a doctor come through our program. We've had multiple engineers, you know, men that were making great, great salaries in their home countries that come here and have to start completely new. That, you know, they, for them, it's almost, you know, starting new is kind of the end of their trajectory of their career. And that there are opportunities in this industry. You know, I actually didn't have a construction background, so I'm learning that, you know, you can start off as a welder and you know, get your welding certificate in less than 2 years and be making anywhere from $20 to $30 an hour at some places, and then be able to move up really quickly up the ladder and, you know, be making, you know, six figures and within just 5 years. So it's, it, there's a, the industry is just growing, and it's very, very lucrative.
Kitty, same question to you. You've got your group of refugees, and you guys are working in close quarters, I would imagine, inside a coffee truck. What kind of things have you learned from them and from doing this?
Well, first I want to say we are really, really new. We launched in May of this year. Mm-hmm. So I learn something every day, and I usually learn it because I make a mistake. So I think a big thing, and it's been a shift over the years, over maybe 5 or 6 years, but has really been intense lately, is learning that we don't work for refugees, we work with them. So we have a broader mission to take a better refugee story to the rest of Atlanta, to create this gathering space. And we're not doing it for the refugee community, we're doing it with them. And they bring as much to the table as we do. So it's not a us, you know, we the resourced smart people and them the sad poor people, because that is not who they are. And so I've also learned that refugees are some of the most heroic people on earth. Mm-hmm. You know, they've, just to be here is an amazing feat. So that's a big thing for me. And then another thing that is that it's okay to not be perfect, because I think I thought we were supposed to be, you know, and we're not. And it's okay. And it's okay to even be transparent about that and to make mistakes and own up to them.
I think one of the great things of the show we're doing here today is there's a current Syrian refugee crisis going on. It's become politicized all over the world, not just here in America. Regardless of that, and that notwithstanding, there are going to be refugees coming from all over the world every single day. So there is this need. There is this need to help those folks to acclimate and to be able to make ends meet when they get into the country. I'm wondering from each of you, and Chris, we'll start with you. Is there a success story that you kind of hang your hat on and it makes it worth it to you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so many, I mean, even just the process of seeing refugees go through an interview with a company, so often we see them start to understand more about the opportunities they have here and more about who they were created to be and just build their confidence. I think right now we're going through the process with a guy from Ethiopia named Samuel, and he's stepping into a $25 an hour job, and his background in construction and some other areas has really, will really set him up well to do well in this company right here in DeKalb that provides a, you know, great product all over the country. And so I think those are certainly exciting, but right now where we're at, we have to see those small wins as really inspiring as well to keep us moving. And so just seeing people come through, we had a guy recently, Ahmed, who got hired, and then unfortunately on the third day of the job had to leave for some health reasons, had to leave the job. And it's so disheartening to see something like that happen when, you know, the match happens and he's hired and it seems like things are going to move forward. But in that, still, there's a lot to celebrate. And so the small wins are really important.
Andrew, how about some of the victories for you personally at Dwell? What have you seen?
We employ a large number of women, so we employ a couple men, but most of them are women. And it's been rewarding to see women who, in a lot of cases, have never worked before coming over as refugees. They may not have worked because they've lived in tent cities in other countries, coming over, never having been an employee before, and be able to start with us. So one of those is Charlie, who has been with us as long as we have been around, 4 years. She's been with us 3.5 years. And Charlie is one who is of Bhutanese descent, was in a tent city in Nepal for 17 years before coming here. And Charlie came over with her husband, who's 30 years older than her, with his brother, who is also 30 years older, with a few children. And she is the only one who could work in that whole family. And she would not be able to go to a chicken processing plant where a lot of refugees work and be able to be successful there. And we, if we were not in business to employ refugees, not sure what would happen to Charlie. But Charlie has experienced tremendous growth as a person, as an employee, providing for her family, the only breadwinner in her family, as well as being a wife and mother. And that is a full-time schedule for anybody, much less someone who's working, who's really never worked before, providing all of that to her family.
That's awesome. Kitty, how about you? I know that you've been around for about 6-7 months with Refuge Coffee, but what does victory look like for you down the road?
Well, down the road will be that we can say we have 14, you know, or however many more people that we can employ more refugees. I'm with Andrew. It's these small steps that are really amazing to me. So Ahmed has only been in the United States for 2 months. He was reunited with his wife, who's been here several years. So a wonderful thing that we had nothing to do with. But, you know, the day after the Paris attacks, I just texted them and said, hey, I want you to know we're really happy you're here and we're for you. And to be able to have those relationships where you can provide what's needed with all the media stuff swirling around was really cool to me. But also, he told us he probably came with less English knowledge than any of our other two. So he told us the first week, if you need me, text me, because I can't understand on the phone. So 3 weeks later, I said, I'm going to text you. And he said, oh, no, I understand now. Like, just such a quick learner, you know, and that feels like victory to me, because that'll really ensure his success, because he's so quickly learning English.
Luke, how about you? What have you seen working with the Lantern Project?
Well, you know, our last class of graduating students, we had about 25, and we were almost able to get employment for every single one of them. So definitely, you know, each of them individually is a success story. But I will kind of, jumping off of what Kitty said, you know, there's a statistic out that I think it's like 8% or less of the refugees that come into the United States in their lifetime will actually cross the threshold of an American person's home.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we try to do is connect them with the mentors. And so one of the cool things that you see happen is these refugees who lose all of their networks, who have to start completely new, even with just who they know. And we connect them with an American, you know, successful person who can kind of jumpstart their network and kind of help them. So there have been many people, many of our students who have gotten employment through that. But individually, I'll say one quick story of one of our guys. His name is Saeed Hassan. He's originally from Iran, was pretty much kicked out of Iran for deciding he didn't want to follow his family's religion anymore, and ended up in Turkey and then in his way to the United States. And he started off just making a minimum wage here in Atlanta, and was really struggling, had no network, just was in depression is what he said. And just somehow we found out about him and connected, and he joined our very first class. And actually his job was requiring him to pretty much stop with us because they wanted him to do overtime. So he quit his job.
Wow.
And so we had to kind of help him a little bit with his money for a little bit. But when he finished the program, he ended up making about $19.50 an hour and about a 2-minute drive from his apartment. And you know, he's doing really well. We used to call him Angry Man because he struggled with his English so much. He wouldn't be able to control the tone of his voice, so he would yell, and so you'd think he was angry.
Yeah.
But he just has the biggest smile and biggest heart, and we call him Happy Man now because he's just, you know, doing so well. So
I think that puts a pretty good bow on it. Guys, we appreciate you being here. Chris Chansey from Amplio Recruiting, Andrew Kraft from Dwell, Kitty Murray with Refuge Coffee, and of course, Luke Keller from the Lantern Project. We'll put all your information, the websites, the social media, everything up on our website, so that people can get in touch with you after this goes up over the weekend. But we appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. We'll be back next Friday with another panel of great guests from in and around DeKalb County. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.